So yesterday we started the Mishnah here on Chaf Gimel Amid Beis, the Mishnah of Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. We spoke about the Parson al Hashma. Let's see if we could add something here today. The Mishnah says that Nesias Kapayim of the Kohanim, that requires Asara. And there's a question here that he brings. The Kohanim on Noses Kapayim in the middle of Chazor Sashatz. And we just established in the Mishnah that you need Asara for Chazor Sashatz. So what's the Chiddush here that you need Asara for Kohanim? When could you have Birchas Kohanim outside the framework of Chazor Sashatz? So he gives a territory which I don't know if I'll understand, but I'll read it to you. He says, "Im hayu nosim kapeim v'pochos me'asara, hayu kol koin mevarech esa'am b'toch tfiloso b'yachid." See if I can figure that out. So he's saying the following, that perhaps you could integrate two groups into the Asara. You could have those who are reading, they're reciting Shmon Esrei B'Yachid, and in the middle of that Tfilas Yachid, they would be Nose Es Kapeyim. I'll read it again. Im Hoyu Nosim Kapeyim B'Pochos Me Asara. So there are only, let's say, 9 Kohanim. And then it would be considered as if each Kohen is how you call Kohen Mevorech Es Ha'om B'Toch Tfiloso B'Yachid.
I
was hoping I would understand this. Let's see. The footnote says the following: Ayin b'Mishnah Berurah she'mischilu b'asara. Now I don't know what he means by ischilu. Oh, ischilu maybe means chazar sashatz. I'm just suggesting. V'yotzu miktsasam. So then the halach is that the shatz completes his tefillah. So mikol makom ein nit nesias kapayim. Oh, I see. So it means that the Nesias Kapayim in this case becomes a new entity. That's what the Mishnah wants to tell us. There's a new requirement of Asara for the Nesias Kapayim, which is not included in the general requirement of Asara for Chazor Sashat. So the Nafkamina is going to be, if you get to the Nesias Kapayim, you no longer have 10, so you can complete that Chazor Sashat because you started with 10, but you won't be able to be no Nesias Kapayim. Because the Nesias Kapayim is a separate entity.
So you start with 10 and somebody leaves.
So you finish the Chazor Sashat, but you can't have the Nesias Kapayim. That's what the Mishnah wants to tell you. That the requirement of Asara is we recharge our batteries, and you know it's a new entity. Let me see if I can read this into the words. He says, "Im hayunosin kapayim v'pochos me'asara." Hoya kol kohen mevarech es ha'am b'toch tfiloso b'yachid. Okay, the language is very difficult. So we'll just go with this Mishnah Berurah, and I'm not sure if that's what he means. Now he has something else. He has a Rashbah here who says the following. Oh, you have it also in the note. He says, "Kevin Shemaskir Hashem." He mentions the name of God. Shomer Yivrech Hashem. Havile Kizimun Shitzorch Hasora Mishum Shomer Nevarech Lelokeinu. It's just like in Zimun when you have 10 people, then you say Nevarech Lelokeinu, which means we bless the name of God. So whenever you're blessing the name of God, you need Asara. And here too, Yivarech Hashem is like you're blessing God, or you're mentioning God in the context of a bracha. So the Tori Eben is not happy with this Rashba. Sherei hatam shein parson al hashma v'ovrim lufnei hateva mishum shezeh domer shem v'kedusha v'ein domer shem v'kedusha pachos me'asor v'chein ma shen ein kar v'tor pachos me'asor gam ke v'tam zem ke madu akosu v'emtza ein nosin eskapem shehu mitam acher. In other words, the Tori Eben understands that whenever you recite a bracha, that's what Nosei Kapayim is a bracha in which Hashem's name is invoked within the context, the framework of a bracha, and that requires asara. But he's not willing to elevate the status of Nosei Kapayim, according to the Rashba at least, to that of Domer Shem Kedusha. Meaning, the Rashba doesn't say that Nosei Kapayim is a Domer Shem Kedusha and ipso facto requires asara, but rather he says that it's like the halach of zimun. Lachem pirish shegam masha ein nosin kapayim pachos mishum dein dovish pachos mikdusha. So what do I gain out of this for my purposes? It would seem that the way the Tori Eben understands the Rashba, at least, again, I'm not sure if he himself buys into this, although I think he does, but you could divide up the Mishnah into two different categories. What's common to every single case that's enumerated in the Mishnah is that they all require asar, but there are two categories and the two distinct reasons. One reason is because of Dovah Shem Kedusha, and that's going to apply to Baruch Hu and to Kaddish and to Chazor Sashatz. And then we have another category that requires asar for other reasons, whatever those reasons might be. For example, according to the Rashba, because of a kind of zimun. Zimun means when we thank Hashem publicly, then we require asara. And the Nosei Kapayim is also a kind of bracha in which we invoke the name of Hashem publicly and therefore requires asara. But that's not Domer Shem Kedusha. And the impression I get is that the Tori Eben disagrees with Rashba as far as the Nosei Kapayim is concerned. And the Tori Eben is going to upgrade the status of the Nosei Kapayim, the requirements of asara, to that of Domer Shem Kedusha. However, I think the Tori Eben agrees in principle that, for example, in the case of Zimun, you can require asar not because of Domer Shem Kedusha, because there's no Kedusha in Zimun. Now, if you ask me why is the Nosei Kapayim and Domer Shem Kedusha, I would assume that whenever the bracha is a public bracha, that itself makes into a Domer Shem Kedusha. So Yivrech Hashem v'yishmerecha. So we're saying that Hashem should bless you. So it could be that by invoking the name of Hashem, it means that Hashem is present. It's like in the presence of God. In the presence of God, God is Mashre Shechina and Asara on 10 people. That makes it into a Domer Shem Kedusha. So we're in a sense sanctifying God's name because we're bringing God into this public arena of Asara.
Why is Kaddish and Kedusha not mentioned specifically in the Mishnah? I mean,
well, I guess it's included on the person of Sashma. Rashi says Kaddish and Kedusha, doesn't he?
It says
Kaddish. Oh, he says Kaddish and not Kedusha.
But even Kaddish, I mean, there's Kaddish outside of person of Sashma. And it's like, that's a less common occurrence than Kaddish, because that's said many times in many situations.
Right. So, for example, we could always ask, why is it that Parson is Shema? Or why is it that Chazor is Shatz? Why do all these things require Asara? And the answer is because within the context of Parson is Shema or Chazor is Shatz, we have Kedusha. And that's called the Dovish of the Kedusha. Now, did the Mishnah have to mention Kaddish or Kedusha specifically? I guess the Mishnah felt understood, you know, that these... He says, Aran Pirish, the Ran has another explanation why we require Asara for Nosei Kapayim. He says, Kevin Dechsiv, Kosev Varchu Es B'nei Yisrael. So the phrase B'nei Yisrael indicates Asara. Because anytime you see B'nai Yisrael, it means a minimum of Asara. And just like the Gemara is going to derive that a Dovah Shemekedusha requires Asar, so too B'nai Yisrael requires Asar. And the source for a Dovah Shemekedusha requiring Asar is going to be the word B'nai, the phrase B'nai Yisrael, and here too, Kosav Baruch Hu is B'nai Yisrael, and therefore you require Asar. So in a sense, the Ran and the Rashbah are on one side of the equation against the Turi Evan on the other side, meaning both the Ran and the Rashbah agree that the requirement of Asara and Birchas Kohanim is not based on Dovah Shemekedusha. The Rashba has his formulation that it's based on the similarity to Nevarech L'Elokeinu. And the Ran says because of the Pasuk B'nei Yisrael. But both seem to agree that it's not classified under Dovah Shemekedusha, whereas the Turi Evan classifies the Nesias Kapayim under Dovah Shemekedusha. So that requires a lot more work. I'm just pointing it out.
And just in this campaign, this really stands out. Because right after that, you have Inkar Vachara, Inkar Shkir, but not that. That's definitely Dabra Shabbatusha, right?
Which is
it? Right after just in this campaign, you have Inkar Vachara, Inkar Shkir, but not be.
Right, let's go through the Mishnah, and then John, you'll answer your question. So, Ein Parson Al Shema. The Ein Ovrim Lifnei Ateva, that's Chazoras HaShatz. The Ein Nosin Eskapeim, that's Birchas Kohanim. The Ein Korim BaTorah, that's Kriyas HaTorah. The Ein Maftir BeNovi, that's the reading of the HaTorah. The Ein Osin Maimon Umoshav, we'll get back to that in a second. Ein Ovrim Birchas Chasanim, Birchas HaVeilim, V'Sanchumi HaVeilim, U'Birchas Chasanim, V'Ein Bezam B'Nishem, V'Pochos Me'asorah. So let's just see. So according to the Turi Evan, Ein Osin is Kapeim is because of the Dovah Shemekedusha. So that means we have A, B, and C. We have Parson Al Shema, we have Ovrim Lifnei Ateva, we have Nosin is Kapeim. All those are a Dovah Shemekedusha. Then we have Kriyas HaTorah, I would assume that's also a Dovah Shemekedusha. And then we have Ein Maftir B'Novi. So what were you saying, John? Ein Maftir B'Novi?
Ein Osin is Kapeim seems to stand out if it's not a Dovah Shemekedusha.
Oh, you're saying according to the Rashba and the Ran. Right. You're talking about like the Seder Advarim. Maybe the Mishnah should have grouped it together in a different way. Because if we assume...
Also,
Man
and Moshe is also... Is that not from the Dabbat?
I assume not. So basically what needs research here in this Mishnah are two questions. One is fundamental, the other is a little more technical. The fundamental question is, in each one of these cases, I don't know how many cases we have, about eight or whatever the number is, are we dealing with the Dovah Shemekedusha or are we dealing with some other requirement of Asara? That's fundamental. Now, after you group together, and again, there could be probably different sheetahs as we saw before, into these two categories, then you want to ask yourself at this a more technical question about the Seder HaMishnah. Shouldn't the Mishnah have organized this in a logical way, having grouped together those which belong to Dovah Shemekedusha and those which belong to, we'll call it Dovah Shemasar, Dovah Shemimini, not because of Dovah Shemekedusha.
Is Karm B'Torah, is that necessarily Dovah Shemekedusha, or is that something that's...
I don't know. In every single case, you're going to have to figure it out. I would assume that since Kriyas HaTorah starts with Birchas HaTorah, that makes it into the Dovah Shemekedusha.
And the first five makes sense, the order, because it's kind of the order of God. You know, Shema, and then Chazat HaShatz, and then Zim Kapayim, and then the Korin HaTorah, and the Haftarah. That kind of is the order of God. So that order makes sense.
Even if it's made up of two different...
Right.
He's right, Eric. I mean, you have to consider that there's a Seder of davening here, of tefillah. Let me just think about one point here. We said yesterday that Ein Parson Al Shema... Right, so if you go like the Gaonim, Ein Parson Al Shema means we're talking about Birchas Yotzer Ma'oros, right? That bracha requires Asara. So that certainly comes before Ovrim Lifnei Ateva. If you go like Rashi's saying that there are people, 10 people, or whatever the number is, that's, we have five different sheets, but whatever the number is, this group of people has not heard Kaddish and Kedusha. So if you start with Kaddish, Right, the first stage or the first step in personal Shema is going to be Kaddish. And then afterwards we're going to have Baruch Hu. And after Baruch Hu we're going to read, Rashi says, the first Bracha of Kriyat Shema. So if that be the case, we're starting this process way before Chazor Sashatz. So therefore the Seder reflects the Seder at Tefillah. Okay, so let's see. Ein Osid Mamon Umoshav. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ein Osin Mamad Umoshav. It's about 10 lines down from the top of the mess. Kishin Nosim Es HaMes LeKovro. The impression I get from this Rashi is we haven't yet buried the mess. I don't know. Hayoshvim Zayin Pa'omim Levakos Es HaMes. And I'm not sure, but I think Rashi is referring to anybody who's participating in this kvura. He's not singling out the avelim, the relatives. And they sit down seven times. We have to see why seven times. Levakos is a mess to cry about the loss. Verotso lesofto yispod. Wow, it sounds like anyone whose heart prompts him to get up and make a hesped. Here's his glorious moment to make a hesped. V'hochi tanya ein pochsin. We have a brisa of Masechta Basra. He says ein pochsin mishiva ma'amados. So we need seven times that they sit and they stand l'mes kigon. So what is this ma'amad and moshav kigon imdu yikarim imdu shivu yikarim shivu. So I'm just going to read to you the Masifta. He enhances this with various mefarshim, and he says the following: Hayoshvim shiva pavim debeis hakvaros. And I'm not sure. Again, Rashi seems to indicate this before the burial, but the Masifta understood, at least based on other mefarshim, that this is after the burial. But we're still in the cemetery, and we have seven times that we sit. The omrim kol pam. And every single time that they sit, they recite Kinos Vehesped. Interesting. Rashi doesn't have this, does he?
No.
Bechol Pam, Lifnesha Omdim, before they get up, Omru, they would declare Imdu Yikarim Imdu. Yikarim, I guess, are the beloved who are fulfilling the mitzvah, the great mitzvah of Kavod HaMes. Ubechol Pam, Lifnesha Yashvu. So again, before they got up, they would say Imdu. And b'chol pam lifnei shiyashvu, before they sat down again, on each one of these seven rounds, omru, they would say shvu yikarim shvu. Again, the word yikarim. Vayu osim came with kovet ames. Now he bases himself on the bar tenura, but then he quotes a Rashbam in Masechta Bava Basra. You remember that Rashi had quoted a Gemara in Masechta Bava Basra. And the Rashbam says that the number seven is a number which corresponds to the word hevel or havolim in Koheles, in Sefer Koheles. So the word havolim appears seven times in Koheles. Again, I'd have to do a word search and see if that works out. But the bottom line is that we want to basically convey the message, I guess, to those who are living, that man and life is hevel. Now, why that's kavod ames, I have no clue. I mean, it's a very nice musa shmuz, right? The Gemara says that if you have a choice of going to a beis avel or going to a beis hamishta, you should prefer going to a beis avel.
Yeah.
And all this because it's going to have an impact on you. And then the Rashbam says that the seven times that we get up and we sit down and we say Shvu Yikarim or Imdu Yikarim, he says that's also part of Nichum Avelim. Now I'm not sure why this is Nichum Avelim. I mean, it seems like every time they went up, they stood up, they would either be maspid the mess, or they would be mavaka, they would cry over the dead. That doesn't sound to me like Nichum Avelim.
No, it's before, if it's the It may have been buried or not.
Right, it would only make sense if it was after burial, right, yeah, like we said before. But again, I'm just wondering, where's this in this ritual of Mamad and Moshav? I don't know where the I understand very well the Bar Tanura, who says that this should be identified with Kavod HaNes. I don't understand so well how the Rashbam identifies that with Nichum Avelu. And then the Rashbam offers another pshat, O Kedei Laharbos Bebechi, U Kedei Lases El Libo Loshav B'tshuva. That this is meant, part of the Avelus, I guess, is that one should see Avelus as to prompt him to do tshuva. I'm not exactly sure what he means, Lases El Libo. I mean, who's Libo? Is he talking about the Avelim? Or is he talking about everybody else who's there, Lekovet HaMes? Maybe everybody has to do tshuva. Like the Gemara says, Mesech Mechabura. You know, when somebody dies, the whole chabura has to worry about, you know, like who's next kind of thing.
Yeah, but it makes sense, even if it is all, it should be all. In other words, the hashpa, what it makes, the krovim, obviously affects them very deeply. Right. But even for the...
for the mishtatvim,
they have to look back. So that's what Paul Musser would say. But anyways,
right. I think you're right.
I think you're more so on the others.
Right, but even exactly it's not why, you.
Exactly why Nichum Avelim enters into this picture, I don't know. That's the Rashbam Bambas. Rashi doesn't seem to indicate that there's any element here of Nichum Avelim at this point, because Rashi says it's Kishinosim as Ames Likovro.
He's not buried yet.
He's not buried, so that's it's premature to talk about Nichum Avelim.
Right.
Okay, so I'm just raising the question.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on. We're not finished with the burial of the dead yet. Ein omer birchas avelim, and that also requires us. Now, what is birchas avelim? So Rashi says, mefarish b'gemara. The Gemara is going to describe birchas avelim. So we'll wait to see the Gemara. Basically, birchas avelim has two parts to it. It's one bracha asking Hashem to be menachim the avelim. It's another bracha that asking Hashem to be gomel, to reward those who are gomel chesed in ames, all those who came to participate in the funeral, etc.
Who says that, bro? When do you say that?
Yeah, so let's wait till the Gemara. Rashi says Mufarish Gemara, so we can rely on Rashi that says Mufarish Gemara.
Sorry, I don't remember.
So let's wait. Sorry,
I don't remember being saying such a problem.
The order of this looks like this is therefore the. Mama, the Moshav, that's before. That must be before the burial. Because the next two things are also having to do with, you know, with the Avelim as well, but they're...
So is Birchas Avelim, is that before the Kvura, after the Kvura? Do you know? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think certainly...
We'll wait to see the Sunya Birchas
Avelim. That should be after the Kvura. I mean, that's...
Right.
So you think that this...
So it could be that all three of these, you know, Moshav, Maimon, and Moshav, and Birchas Avelim and Takumi Avelim, again, if we leave out Rashi, that all of these three take place after the Kvura. Rashi seems to identify Mamad Umoshav as before the Kvura, and then Birchas Avelim might be after the Kvura. Takumi Avelim for sure is after the Kvura, because the you know, Ein Menachem Es Ha'Avel is a mission in the third parak of Brochus, B'Shoshem Esam Mutalafonam. So we have now Tanchumi Avelim. Rashi says that's for sure after the Kvura. Kshechozrin min HaKvura. There's a little bit of a girsa problem. I don't know, do you have a Zion here? I have a little letter Zion, which is called Hagos V'Tziyunim. And he says, Nira Ditzarch Lomar, Kshechozrin mikvura sames. Omdim u'menachem es ha'ovel, v'ein shura p'chusa me'asar v'mesech to Sanhedrin. So we have what's called a shura, and the Ovel or the Avelim passed by the Shura, and we need a Shura of Asara.
Is that Tzedek HaDin?
Not exactly Tzedek HaDin. I think it's part of Nichum Avelim. In other words, the Ovel passes by the 10 people.
Right.
And each one of those 10 people, a minimum of 10.
I'm going to say Menachem Menachem Betchem.
Right.
So isn't that's not Tzedek HaDin?
No, Tzedek HaDin is what the Ovel recites right before the kvura. And that's called Kel Emunah Vein Avel Tzadik V'Yashahu. And that's when the Avel declares that he accepts the, you know, that God is just.
Yeah. Because that, why did I think that was said?
Okay, so we have now Tanchumi Avelu. Now he points out here in the Masifta that there were actually two lines, and the Avel would go through between these two lines. Again, Rashi doesn't mention that, but that comes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Now it says here that you need Asara. Now I'm wondering, you know, what does that mean? If you don't have Asara, so you drop the ball? I don't know. Why should Tanchumi Avelu be omitted if you don't have Asara? But maybe the Mishnah is just trying to say that you should work hard to get Asara. And you have to draft 10 people for this job.
This cites the Tosfos Yom Tov that he believes a bracha was said, but he found no support. Apparently, he found no support in the sources. What this says, but that he, because tenor required must be that a bracha was said, but he couldn't find anything to support that. So.
So I'm not sure what he means by that. I mean, we're going to have Birchas Avelim. We'll get to that in a minute, and then we have Tanchumi Avelim. So Tanchumi Avelim has no bracha. I don't know. Right. I don't know if anybody would doubt that.
And then this also cites Gemara and Ketubos Daped on Bet that said no bracha was said as they passed through between the rows of people.
Right. I mean, for sure not. I mean, there's
so
no bracha. Why do you need 10? So that for sure is not a Dovah Shem Kedusha. That's one thing. You know, if we're looking for a case where you need 10, it's not a Dovah Shem Kedusha. And why is Tanchumi Avelim required 10? So hopefully the Gemara is going to ask this question. Let's see. Then we have Birchas Chasanim. And Rashi says nothing here about Birchas Chasanim. But the Mefarish here that I have, he says, Sheva Brachos, Sheva Varchim Lechasanim. Now, I'm not sure if he means Sheva Brachos during the Zayin Yimei Mishte, or maybe he means Sheva Brachos that we recite under the Chuppah, or maybe he means both. He says that, why does the Mishnah use the word Chasanim in plural? And he mentions that there are different categories of chasanim, all of which require sheva brachos. One is a bachur, he was never married, shenasa psula, and she was never married. Number two, you have a case of an alman who was already married, and he's married an almana, and she was already married. And then you can have the case of an alman who was once married, and he's married a woman who was never married. And as far as how many brachas we're going to recite during the course of this period of time, it changes in each category. But in any event, whenever you recite the bracha, and in all these three chasanim you require a bracha, you need asara.
If they're grushin, there's no sheva brachas?
Well, again, there's always going to be sheva brachas under the chuppah, but the question is, for how many days during the Zayin Yimei Mishtev? If it's a first marriage for one of them, then it's 7 days. If it's a second marriage for both of them, it's only 1 day. For that, you have to go through the Gemara Ksumas. Then the Mishnah says, "Ein mezamnin b'shem." In order to do a zimun with Elokeinu, Nevarach Elokeinu, mentioning God's name, is b'pachos me'asar. We must have 10 people. Rashi says, "Nevarach Elokeinu." So everything that we've had until now requires some sort of a, what I call an avoda. What I mean by an avoda is we're in the ritual area of either Choshen Mishpat, of Aruch Hayim, or maybe Eben Ezer, all the ritual laws of Tefillah, of Kriyas HaTorah, of Avelus, of Chasanus, and now the Mishnah goes ahead and talks about monetary law. Ubekarkos, Tisha, Kohen, Kintisha, V'Kohen Echad. In other words, when a person is magdish a field or a house to hegdesh, which is called bedekabayis, or otherwise known as kedushas domim, then he can be poda kedushas domim, and he transfers the kedusha over to his domim, to the money. And for that, we have to have an evaluation: what is the karka worth? And we need a panel of 10 people. To evaluate the karka in order to set the amount of money he has to use, the minimum amount, he can always add if he wants, but for pidyon karka. And this panel has to be comprised of, number one, Tisha, 9 people who could be the Kohanim or Yisraelim, and one Kohen. There's got to be one Kohen, because that Kohen, so to speak, represents Hegdesh. The Adam, and if you'd be poda a person from Hegdesh, now how a person can be Hegdesh is going to be the subject of this Gemara, is Kayotza, then being the same law applies. You need 9 people plus a Kohen, and they form a decibunal, whatever you call it, a panel, in order to evaluate how much money he has to give for pigeon. So let's go through the Gemara. Minani Mili. What is the basis for the requirement of Asara? And again, I'm not sure if this Gemara is referring to everything in the Mishnah. I think not. I think it's referring at least to the first 3 cases in the Mishnah, Parson al Shema, Over in Alateva, and according to Turi Evan, at least in the Sias Kapayim, probably refers to Kriyas HaTorah as well, because Kriyas HaTorah also has a Baruch Hu Hashem HaBaruch. I'm not sure about Maftir Ben Novi. I would be inclined to think that even Maftir Ben Novi falls under this category. And then the remainder of the Mishnah, I don't think would necessarily come under this category. Amar Abchia Barab, Amar Ab Yochanan, Di Amar Krov Nikdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael. So here we have a pasuk that starts with Vinikdashti. Vinikdashti means Kiddusha, some sort of sanctification of God's name. And it's got to be B'toch B'nei Yisrael. And we're going to try to understand that the word B'toch means in front of 10 men, and that's the minimum that you require here. And the formulation is the following: Kol Dover Shemikdusha Lo Yehe Pachos Me'asara. A Dover Shemikdusha requires the presence of Asara. Yesterday we had a discussion. I'm not going to go through it again. What about Kriyas HaMegillah? Is that called a Dover Shemikdusha that requires Asara, or is it really just a Chomas Yochid? That was yesterday's discussion. Okay, fine. Now, my mashma, how do you know that the word betoch, when it says betoch b'nei Yisrael, means a minimum of 10? The Tani Rabbi Chia, Asya, we have a gzeresh of toch, toch. In other words, here it says, simchachem mikdashi betoch b'nei, so we have another toch in the case of Korach. What does it say in Avdas Korach? It says, Hasam, he bodlu mitoch ha'edah. Now, we don't know that the word toch in Adas Korach is 10. There's no indication that that's 10. So we now have to introduce another Gzeira Shavah. This is like a domino. This is like a chagadim, you know, one chain on top of the other. And now we're going to see that in the Pasuk of Korach, it says not only toch, but it also says Edah. And now we're going to have a Gzeira Shavah of Edah, that's going to teach me that he bodlu mitoch ha'edah in the case of Korach is referring to 10. And then once we have he bodlu mitoch ha'edah, that edah is 10, then we take the word mitoch from Adas Korach and we compare it to v'nikdashi mitoch b'nei Yisrael, and it means mitoch b'nei Yisrael means 10. Because just like the word toch in the case of Korach means 10, so to the word toch in the case of v'nikdashi means 10. Now how do we know that the word toch in the parasha of Korach means 10, because it says Eda, the Asya Eda Eda. We have Xer Shavah of Eda Eda. Now we're fast forwarding to another Eda, which is not a very good Eda, and that's the Meraglim, the Tziv Hosom. It says in the Meraglim, Admosai La Eda Hara Hazos. And the Meraglim, the Eda Ra of the Meraglim, were 12, but the Eda Ra of the Meraglim were Asara. I mean, you have to drop Kalev and Yoshua. Is Afkan here too in Adas Korach? When it says the word Eda, then it's referring to Asara. And then we take the word Toch in Ibad Mitoch Eda of Korach, and we shed a light on the word Bitoch in Vindashi Bitoch B'nai Yisrael to require Asara. Now, he quotes here one of the Mefarshim. I don't see this in Rashi. Tell me if you do see it in Rashi. And he says that this requirement of Asara based on Dover Shemikdusha applies to Parson al Hashma, to Ovin Lifnei Ateva, and to Nesias Kapayim. And he's in the footnote, he writes, Nesias Kapayim, Ayin Turi Evan. He tells you, look in the Turi Evan. But then he adds another 2 points, and he says, "Ein korim b'torah pachos me'asor, ve'im aftir b'novim pachos me'asor." That too comes under this principle of ein gavishim b'novim pachos me'asor. Now, what I think is very sharp here is that if you're accepting the Turiyelim, and then you're adding to Nesias Kapayim, Kriyas HaTorah, and Kriya HaTorah B'Nevi'im, they all require Asara under this derivation of Enigdashti B'Toch B'nei Yisrael, Eidom Shemikdusha Pachs Mi'Asara, then the Mishnah could be divided up very sharp in a very smooth way. There's the Reisha of the Mishnah that takes us all the way to Maftir B'Novi, and then there's the Sefer from Mamad Roshan until the end. Certainly Karkos requires Asara, has nothing to do whatsoever with a Dovish of the Kedusha. And he says that the Chiddush here of our Mishnah is that the principle of Dovish of the Kedusha, the requirement of Asara, applies even to institutions that are rabbinic. For example, Kriyas HaTorah or Haftaras HaNavi are all Takonos Derabbanan, but nevertheless, we're going to apply the rule of Dovish of the Kedusha. It means on a chiyuv level, the chiyuv and the takana is only Derabbanan, but in terms of the essence or the entity itself, we're able to create a Dovish of the Kedusha, which the Torah recognizes. And if the Torah recognizes that it's a Dovish of the Kedusha, then we require Asara.
Isn't Shmon Esrei really Derabbanan?
Same thing. You know, the same logic will apply to Shmon Esrei, that the chiyuv is Derabbanan, right, but the entity itself is so, Doraisa.
And that one's a clear issue of Kedusha, so...
Right, yeah. It has to be Doraisa. I'll tell you why, because there's no Nesias Kapayim outside of the framework of Shmon Esrei. And the truth is that most Rishonim say that Nesias Kapayim is Doraisa, even outside the Beis HaMikdash. So that would have to mean that Tefillah is Doraisa, because otherwise you don't facilitate Nesias Kapayim without Tefillah. So even though the Chiyuv Tefillah is Derabbanan, but the entity itself, or you might call it, if you use brisket terminology, the Kiyum HaMitzvah is Doraisa. And then perhaps we go on to the Sefer of the Mishnah now, right? And that's what the Gemara does. It says, "V'ein osin mamad u'mosha pachos me'asara." But right, this is a whole new category. And the Gemara is looking for a reason to justify the requirement of asara in mamad u'mosha, meaning we're not satisfied with ein dovash v'kedusha. And this makes sense because at this point there's no bracha being recited. So you can't tell me there's a bracha that's public in nature. So why do we require asara? So the Gemara says, came into Boil and Neymar, Imdu Yikarim Amodu, or Shavu Yikarim Shavu, is Batsir Me'asara Lav Orech Ara. Okay, this is a little bit difficult for me. I'm just going to try to get by this, so don't ask me any questions because I have no answers. It means it's not Derech Eretz, it's not Orech Ara, to go through this entire Tircha. You know, you set up we call it today in modern Hebrew Karyan, I guess in the Gemara's language you call it a Shliach Tzibur, and he has to declare Shvu Shvu Yikarim Shvu, and he has to go over the 7 times. He has to declare Imdu Yikarim Amdodu 7 times. So it's almost like an insult to his intelligence to go through this entire tedious process 10 times. 7 times 2 is 14 times with less than asara.
This is in the Beis Evel, or
this is in the Beis Hakfaros.
In Beis Hakfaros.
So after, I'm not sure exactly.
Oh, okay, fine. I'm not holding you to it because you asked not to.
But intuitively, I don't know Lav Orech Ara, right? So what's Lav Orech Ara? Yeah. So Rashi says it's not Derech Eretz, right? Let's go through the Rashi again. Right, he's talking about the Shliach. That's the Shliach
Tzibur.
Right, he calls out Imdu Yikarim Imdu or Yishvu Yikarim Shvu.
Man Nachat Le Merubin. What's the pleasure or the comfort?
Right, okay. To the master. Oh, Rashi says something else. Oh, okay. Rashi has a different shot here. But again, let's go through two possibilities. The first possibility is closer to the text of the Gemara. No, it's a literal translation of the text of the Gemara, which says "lav orach ara,"
right,
means "ein roy lahatriach es hashliach tzibur sheyomer kein pam achar pam bepochos me'asora anosh." That's before Rashi. Rashi adds another element to the equation, and Rashi says that when you call someone a yokar, that's like the highest commendation you can get. That's the highest praise you can give to a person. There's nothing.
Yakir Yerushalayim.
Yeah, there's nothing greater than Yakir Yerushalayim.
Okay.
So he's saying the following: what? That if you have less than 10 people, then you're wasting that category of Yikarim on such. So my Naftam Rubin, you know, if you get to finally get to 10, so what? Right, like for example, we'll see in Zimun that we want to go through one stage and then a higher stage. If there are 10 people, if there are 100 people, 1,000 people, and so forth. But here, you've already wasted away the greatest accommodation, the greatest appellation that you could give, namely Yikarim, on what? On 5 people? On 6 people? On 9 people?
Apparently, Israeli businesses don't follow this Rashi. No. They call everyone your customer. They don't treat you that way.
Well, yeah, Tel Aviv is different. Tel Aviv is changed. Yerushalayim is not there yet. Tel Aviv.
Now he quotes a sefer called Ramat Shmuel, who interprets that when you say the word Yikarim, you prefix it with Bnei Tzion. Now this probably is based on a pasuk in Tanakh. I don't know where the pasuk is, but Bnei Tzion HaYikarim. If we had Bar Ilan, we would just do a word search. And he says that when you talk about Bnei Tzion, just like when you talk about Bnei Yisrael, then you don't use that term, Bnei Tzion, and waste it away, unless there are asara. So maybe we could say the following, that in order to educate us, so to speak, in understanding that we are now praising these Yikarim, these people who are so emotionally and invested, and more than just emotionally invested in this process of whether it's Kavod HaMes, whether it's Nichama Velim, or whether it's, what was the third possibility, Obechi, in other words, in order to get people to do tshuva, whatever this entire process is, if we're making a public statement about praising these people who are investing so much, then we want to have a group of people, and a group of people is called Bnei Tzion, and that refers to 10 people. And maybe you can fit Rashi into that as well. And that's when we're referring to these people in such glorious terms, majestically calling them Yikarim, or he says Bnei Tzion Yikarim. We don't have Bnei Tzion Yikarim, do we? In our Mishnah, do we?
No,
it says Imdu Yikarim Imdu. He has Imdu Bnei Tzion Imdu and Shvu Bnei Tzion Shvu. I don't know where he gets that from. I can't tell you. But one thing I could tell you, and that we're talking about a different kind of asara. We're talking about an asara which makes up a community of Israel, a microcosm of the community of Israel. We're not talking about Dom Shem Kedusha. So again, when we require asara in our mission, it's for one of two reasons. Either because kedusha, v'nikdashti, has to be betoch. And what does betoch mean? In the presence of asara. That sets up a darish of a kedusha. We're going to learn later on that if you set up a darish of a kedusha, you can continue even without the asara, once you started. So that's a separate entity called the darish of a kedusha. It's like a Kodesh Baruch who's there and was sanctifying God in the presence of 10 people. So that's a process of sanctification. And then there are other things which require a community, or shall we say a representation of Bnei Tzion. And there too we require asara. So the requirement of asara here is to make up a quorum of a community. It's almost like... I would give you a mashal. You know that there are many halachas about an ear, a city, like for example taxes and representation, different halachas. You have to learn about them. And there may be different minimum requirements to set up a city, like you need asara or you need 100, whatever the number might be. So the smallest minimum of a group of Jews that form an entity of a group that are involved in some great enterprise, significant enterprise, is asara. And maybe that's relevant to the next line in the Mishnah. Ein omrim birkas avelim u'birkas chasanim v'pafos me'asara. So whatever this birkas avelim is, it's going to require again a representation of a community of Israel, which even if it's not a dorish of a kedusha, you know, it's very hard to synthesize kedusha, dorish of kedusha with avelus. You know, avelus is almost the antithesis of the presence of God. Again, we believe God is always present, but in a sense, what avelus is all about is the absence of God, right? The hester panim. And once again, if we're not dealing with the Dovah Shem Kedusha, why are we requiring Asara? And the answer is we're doing something as a community. And a community has to be made up of a minimum of 10. Okay, so my Birchas Avelim. So what is Birchas Avelim? And if we remember, Rashi says Birchas Avelim Beforish B'Gemara, right? He doesn't give us a clue as to what Birchas Avelim is. And the Gemara says Bracha Birchas Rechava. Rechava means it's outside in the public kikar. How do you say in the public square? And now we're talking about after the Kvura, and we stand up in the Rechova ear. One of the people gets up. He represents the entire group, and he recites a bracha. Now Rashi says that he recites two brachos. Two brachos. Where's the Rashi? Now I don't find it. Okay. So wait a minute. Let's hold off 1 second. Rashi's going to explain what these two brachos are. But the essence of these brachos are Shevach Takadosh Baruch Hu, and also Tefillah Takadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of the Avelim. And the Gemara establishes now the Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Birchas Avelim Biasara. So for Birchas Avelim, which is otherwise known as a Birchas Rechava, is we require 10. V'ein Avelim in a minyan. So you need 10 people besides, in addition to the Avelim. And Rashi is going to try to explain why the Avelim cannot be incorporated into this minyan of 10 people. And then he goes on and he says, in contrast, Birchas Chasanim Basar V'Chasanim Min HaMinyan. But the Chasan himself can be part of the Minyan. Now, so you need 9 people plus the Chasan, but in the case of Birchas Avelim, you need 10 people besides the Avelim themselves. So let's see Rashi. Ein Avelim Min HaMinyan, Shaharehu Omer, Bracha l'menachamim bifnei atzman. Now Rashi is going to give us the essence of that bracha, and this is a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should bestow blessings and rewards on the menachamim. You see how much the halacha is so sensitive to, you know, to the effort and the investment of time and emotion of the menachemim, that they took their time out. You know, you could bury the dead and then, you know, you'll show up or you won't show up, you know. But there's a great mitzvah here of chesed to be one of the menachemim. Bifnei atzman, so we have a separate bracha that we turn to Hashem to bestow blessings on the menachemim. Achenu bal hagmul Yishalim lechem gmulchem. So you have to read this with a comma. In other words, achenu comma, and then that's gmulchem. And in the middle, bal hagmul yishalim lechem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives and bestows reward, he should bestow a reward on you for your gmulchem hatov. Baruch atah Hashem yishalim hagmul. So it's interesting that this is, for some reason, unbeknown to me, this is called a matbea aruch, which means it's poseach bebaruch and it's chosein bebaruch. Maybe because the theme of the bracha is, number one, to turn to Hashem, and number two is to describe the nature of nichum avelim as gmul chematov, as a great gmul. I don't know, but in any event, it's poseach bebaruch v'chosein bebaruch. And then there's another bracha unto itself, la'avelim bifnei atzman, and that's achenu, our brothers, meaning referring to the Avelim, is Baal Nechamos Yenachem Eschem, may the source of all consolation, source with a capital S, meaning the Almighty, may He grant you consolation. Nichum. Baruch Atah Hashem Menachem Avelim. How great is God that He's Menachem the Avelim.
Okay.
Now this is fascinating because it really means that, and this is true for both the Ashkenazic rite and certainly for the Sephardic rite, that we cannot be Menachem the Avelim. We're there almost as agents, only as kind of a tool, and the real Nechama can only come from on high. Right, so the Sfaradim say Yenachem Min Hashamayim, and the Ashkenazim say Hamokim Yenachem Eschem. It's got to come from Shemayim. So it's a separate bracha. And Rashi goes out of his way to say Einam Kolam Yachad. So the last three words.
Yeah, yeah. Einam?
I think Rashi might be saying two things, and both are correct. He's saying on the one hand that there are two separate brachas. So in Hilchas brachas, we have two brachas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obvious because, you know, the logic is obvious because they're two separate themes and two separate goals. Each bracha is independent. But the second thing I think Rashi is telling us is that both of these brachos form one entity. It's one indivisible whole. They're two parts to a whole. And the reason why Rashi wants to tell us that is because this is a set of brachos which is called Birchas Avelim. Birchat Avelim, which means it's the bracha of Avelim. It's really comprised of two different brachos. Now, why do I say it's one entity? Because I think, again, this is just Berzon talking, for whatever it's worth, that Rashi is trying to explain what it means when it says Ein Avelim in Aminyan. And if you take a look at Rashi here on Ein Avelim Min Aminyan, you'll see that he's focused on one of the two brachos. He says, Shareyu Omer Bracha LaMenachamim Bifnei Atzman. And Rashi is telling you that this is going to be an independent bracha in which we petition or we have a supplication to Almighty God to bless and to reward the Menachamim. Correct?
Right.
Now, why shouldn't the Avelim participate in that bracha? If anyone, you know, if you ask me who to put first on the list, I would have thought that the Avelim, again, there may be technicalities why the Avelim can't say it, that they're not focused or they're rachok. I don't know, you may come up with a dozen answers to the question why the bracha on the Menachamim should not come from the Avelim themselves. But is it possible... Wait, just one second. I just want to express an idea. Again, it's dope for Tishkach, but you got to give me a chance to express what's in my bones. That I think that maybe what Rashi is telling me is that since there are two brachos over here, therefore, the Avelim are not part of the minyan, meaning that those two brachos form one entity. Now, which of the two brachos exclude the Avelim? Do you follow my question?
Okay, yeah.
It could be both, and it could be none. I mean, you could come up with any number of answers, but if you would grant me the following license, that Rashi wants to tell you that one of these two brachos, the Avil is mufka, is excluded from one of these two brachos, which of the two brachos would he be mufka from? Does anybody see my point here? Again, let's go over the...
Mufka meaning...
Excluded. You know, it's inapplicable.
Right.
He's out of the radar screen, the Yovel. Which
okay.
of the two?
Right.
Let's go over the two
right.
things.
No, but it's,
one bracha is to bring a gemul from Shemayim for the Menachamim.
Right.
Is the Yovel excluded from that?
No.
For sure not. I mean, again, intuitively not.
He
may be excluded for technical reasons, but I'm just asking on a pure conceptual level,
right.
thematically, if anyone is shy of that bracha, it's him. Then Rashi goes on and says there's another bracha. And the second bracha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Nechama to the Avelim.
And the Avelim should be separate from that.
They should be excluded from that.
Excluded
if you call it separate, I call it excluded. But I think we're both saying the same thing.
Right.
Meaning, how can the Avel pray on his own behalf? The whole thrust of this bracha is that the Menachamim, as part of their service, as part of their avodah and their responsibility, they're asking Hashem, they're imploring God to bring consolation to the Avelim. So The question is how to read this Rashi. Because take a look at the Rashi. Right. When Rashi starts with Shaharehu Omer. Now, I don't know what he means, Shaharehu Omer. Because after the Shaharehu Omer, it goes through 1 and 2. Well, you know, and when you read the first part of Rashi, you assume that whatever comes first on Rashi's list, that's going to justify Ein Avelim in a Minyan. And it could be that that's Pshat in Rashi, but I honestly throw in the towel here because I don't begin to understand that if Rashi means Harehu Omer Brachal Menachamim, is that going to explain to me and justify why the Avelim are not in a minyan? But maybe what Rashi's doing here is he's going through the two brachos,
right?
And the ultimate explanation of why Ein Avelim in a minyan comes at the end of this Rashi of Baruch Ata Hashem Menachem Avelim. And Rashi wants to tell you that although these two brachas are independent, but they form one entity of Birchas Avelim, and you can't split the two. In other words, logically, what I've been saying is, let's say, for example, you had 9 people plus the Avel, and they would recite the bracha on the Menachem.
Right.
You know, Baruch Ata Hashem Menachem Gomel. Well, what's the chesima there? Gomel la Menachem.
Meshalim
Gvul la Menachem. If I'm adding a word, right? La Menachem. Then you could make the bracha even though you only had 9 people because the Avil could be part. Now all of a sudden you're up to the next bracha.
Right.
Not all of a sudden, but you're next up to the next bracha. And what's the thrust of the next bracha? To ask Hashem to reward
Menachem the Avil.
Here's where the Avil can't. He's the Misnachem. He's not the Menachem.
This seems to have a different interpretation, but first I had a question.
Okay, I'm just saying my own interpretation. I'm going to listen to you while I pack up here so I don't have to wait for my shiur.
B'fnei Atzman, what does that mean? What does Rashi mean when he says B'fnei Atzman?
In other words, there's a separate chasima. Separate psicha and a chasima for each one of these two brachos, right?
Ne'atman is about the brach. Okay.
And Rashi's being mechadish to you because when you read the Gemara, you get the impression there's something called a birchas avelim. There's one birchas avelim.
Right. So this says
and
that
you can integrate both paragraphs into one.
So this is saying that the first bracha is for the people who are there, not on the avelim. It doesn't include the avelim. The first bracha is said by the people there for themselves, not for the avelim. It doesn't include. That's what this
is. No, for sure it's not for the avelim. I'm not denying that.
It's an excluded
who comment. Who should ask God to bring down gemul for the menachem? Should it not be the avel himself? That's paradoxical. You understand my point? There's a certain paradox here which I can't understand. You know, there are a lot of Rashi's where he goes through A and B, and you don't know whether he's emphasizing the A or the B, if you know what I mean. You know, the ratio of the safety. All right, have a great day.